At this time, I'll move on to the administration informational items. Number five, go outdoors. It's our SD update with Heather and Brant. Heather, are you with us? Any idea about? Okay, well, we can come back to you, Heather. Maybe unless Brant's going to fly solo. We'll just go to number six, and then Heather, just send somebody a quick text, let them know when you're ready to go. Can-Am ticket sales. Nick, you're going to give us all the kinds of good news about how much money this thing's making.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling, Nick Harrington, Communications Manager, South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. Going to have a couple agenda items for you today. We're going to start with the Can-Am ticket sales. Very, very good news on these ticket sales. Recently, this past month, we started really hitting our email list to advertise this vehicle. So as a reminder, this Can-Am, we opened this up in March, and this is through the Second Century Habitat Fund. So this is a fully loaded Can-Am Defender. It's about a $53,000 rig, which puts it about twice as nice as my pickup. So it's a really, really sweet ride. It's been all over the state. It's been at the State Fair. It's been at Dakota Fest. Riverboat Days down in Yankton. It was at the Roundup. It'll be at the Governor's Hunt. I think it's safe to say that all the dirt from across the state and dust, that's going to come free with the vehicle as well. So great opportunity to get this in front of folks. And again, this is all about raising money for Habitat. This all goes back to the Second Century Habitat Fund. That puts more habitat on the landscape. That's what we need for more wildlife populations. So that's why I'm really excited to share these numbers with you all. This is going to close Friday night of the Governor's Hunt, so that'll be October 22nd. So folks can purchase tickets online up until midnight of that night. We're going to be selling tickets at the Governor's Hunt, and we're going to be continuing these email communications as well, reminding folks of this opportunity. So far we have sent three emails in the last 2.5 weeks. First one went to our previous ticket purchasers through our Hunt for Habitat raffle. We sent it to all of our pheasant hunters, and we sent it to all of our big game hunters. And I'm very happy to say that in about that time frame, we've made roughly $60,000 to $70,000 based on those emails. It has been incredible. So that puts us, right now we're at $117,000 for resident ticket sales, $105,000 for non-resident ticket sales. That brings us to about 22,000 ticket sales through our raffle system, but we do have an additional roughly $30,000 of folks who have donated when purchasing their license through the Second Century website. So we're sitting at about $250,000 right now for this vehicle. We've got another email going this Friday to landowners. That's going to be about 12,000 folks. But, I mean, we've sent this to, when you look at the numbers, roughly about 300,000 recipients. And we've had about 6,000 clicks to purchase tickets, which is why we're seeing such great results, such great numbers. Hoping this continues. The trends usually show that folks, whether they're applying for their deer license, whether they're purchasing Hunt for Habitat tickets, and in turn, hopefully, Can-Am tickets too, that last 72 hours can usually get us about 20% of our license sales. So hopefully this trend continues again, and I have some really, really good numbers to share with you all once this raffle concludes. But again, I'd really like to thank staff for getting this vehicle around. They have done an outstanding job. As I said, it has been in every corner of the state. It was in Watertown. It was at the State Fair. It was at Dakota Fest. It's been down in the southeast, Yankton. It's been in front of our outdoor campuses in Sioux Falls and Rapid City. Everybody has done just an outstanding job getting this vehicle around, getting it in front of folks. A lot of these people are having a great time. Kids are playing with it. They're crawling up inside of it. So it's really, really great to see, and I can't thank our staff enough for helping. And the other thing I want to say is this is a great opportunity to support Habitat. This is a great opportunity to support Second Century Habitat Fund, and it's a great chance to win an awesome hunting rig. So in these next couple weeks, anyone on the call, we definitely want you to think about purchasing tickets, support Habitat, get entered to win, and then hopefully Saturday morning I call you with some really, really good news. So if a peer number calls you Saturday morning, please answer it. It will make my job a lot easier. So, but that's what I have for an update. Again, I can't thank all the folks who have purchased tickets. I can't thank our staff, and I'm really excited to see what we can do these last couple weeks. And I'll also take any questions on this.
Thanks, Nick. Anybody have any questions for Nick on this? Really is a nice job you guys are doing with the social media pushes, and you see it on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. You guys are doing a great job getting that out of there, and it's a great project too. So I mean, the effort that's went into it, I mean, I would be afraid to guess how much more we're going to do next year when we really have a year's experience of doing this under our belt. It's going to get bigger and better as we go on.
I'll tell you, my guesses were pretty low. I was hoping we would make 250, and we're there now. So hopefully those guesses are good. But thank you very much. We really appreciate the kind words.
Thank you. I think we're going to go in reverse here. We're going to go back up to number five. Heather's with us. I understand, Heather, you were actually handling one of our customers, and that's more important than testifying here today. So if you're with us, Heather, I'd look forward to your Go Outdoors South Dakota update.
Secretary Roebling, Heather Bell, Wildlife Administration Chief. I think we all wear quite a few hats in the department, but one of the more exciting projects that we have going right now is really focusing on our customer service initiative and the Go Outdoors South Dakota platform that's going to be launching December 15th. So if you do the math, we are just under 70 days from go live for our new licensing system. Next month, we'll be giving a more detailed demonstration of the system. We are really getting close, but just a reminder, some of the great features we have coming. Our customers are going to be able to have one login for both parks and wildlife, whereas a customer, I'm going to be able to make my camping reservation, purchase my hunting fishing licenses, all in one cart, one transaction, along with a full e-commerce store. We have a lot of really great merchandise, whether it's t-shirts, or we have really talented staff at Game Fish and Parks. Some that have written books and different publications that our customers will be able to buy on our e-store, as well as make donations to the Game Fish and Parks Foundation, as well as the Second Century Habitat Fund. We also are going to have some really neat roundup options. Our customers will be able to purchase a hard card, which is similar to a gift card in size, but we have been fortunate to partner with the Redland Art Center, and they are allowing us to use two different Terry Redland prints to print on the front of the hard cards. The back of them will show our customers' licenses, so they have something a little more tangible, and also a collector's item to have some memories of the hunts and trips they take with their families. One of my favorite features that we have for parks that's coming is going to be the ability to have a 360 view of all 4,000 plus of our campsites. So you're going to be able to virtually click through a campground just like you're walking right through it. You can see, is there shade trees? How close are you to the facilities, the comfort stations? Is the site flat? You can do all of that before you book. Also, we're incorporating the ability to be able to add additional people to your cart. So for example, if you have a child that you are applying for licenses for or purchasing preference points, you're going to be able to add that transaction right to your cart instead of having to go into their login information and do that transaction separately. You're going to be able to do it all at once, associate different customers with yourself. If you apply in groups, typically you can do that with just a few quick steps. So we have a lot of really exciting stuff coming. I appreciate you guys allowing me to give updates on this project. I know everyone at the department's really excited, and it's going to be a huge lift for our customers. It'll be much easier for them to do business with us, which is the whole goal. We want to create outdoor families and give everyone the opportunity to get outside. Buying their license should be the absolute easiest thing they should do. I would be willing to take any questions you guys may have.
Thanks, Heather. It's exciting stuff. I know there's a lot of folks that are looking forward to the new system, many of them in this room, and many more out there listening in on the internet, and we'll be happy to have that come in. Anybody have any questions for Heather? No questions is good news. Heather, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Same to you. Number seven, pheasant hunting, marketing, and the public relations side of it. Nick, you're going to handle that one as well.
Yes, sir. Again, Nick Harrington, Communications Manager with Game Fish and Parks. Today, now we're going to talk about the pheasant marketing that we've got. We just completed our youth season. Sounded like it was a great success. A lot of folks were able to get out in the field, introduce those young hunters to pheasant hunting. So that was very, very good. We have a resident-only season starting this Saturday. But, I mean, the Super Bowl, the big one, is next week, October 16th. Our traditional pheasant season opens up. And we've been working with the Department of Tourism. We've been working through our own communications to really showcase South Dakota as the place to go pheasant hunting. I mean, last year was 1.1 million birds harvested, and it was 9 birds per hunter. I mean, folks coming up here need to know that that's great harvest numbers for each person. So if you're going to come up here, you have a really, really good chance to get out and bag a nice number of roosters. And so through tourism, we've been doing a lot of advertising. This is online. This is through podcasts. It's through radio. They've really taken our marketing to the next level. I know you guys have all seen what we've been doing the last couple of years. And then also on our communications team's front, I mentioned our success with email for the Can-Am raffle. We're doing the same things for our pheasant hunting as well. So what you have in your commission booklets would be our 2021 Ringneck Outlook. So we updated this for September. So we put out an original copy in June, and then as we went through the summer, as we went through the season, we saw what the weather conditions were, we saw what the field conditions were, and we put out an updated outlook for folks. I don't have to tell any of you that we're dry out there. We're dry in the fields, water levels. We're dealing with drought pretty seriously across the state. But the good news is that it looks like there's still going to be quite a few pockets of really good pheasant hunting. Talked to a landowner from Moody County last week. He said they hadn't seen any birds as they were on the road ditches, out in the roads. But he started combining, and he said he hasn't seen as many birds in 15 years. And that was really good to hear. Again, I think there's going to be a lot of good, really, really good pockets of birds out there. And we saw all those birds from the mild winter that are still going to be out there on the landscape as well. I'm really, really emphasizing to folks, they're going to need to scout. They're going to need to hunt hard. These are going to be older birds. They're going to be wary birds. And we're hearing there's a lot of young birds in the field as well, which is good. But especially with some of the habitat that we're seeing out on the landscape, that maybe CRP acres that had to have been hayed because of the drought conditions, I'm really encouraging them to get out, scout, look in their favorite areas, put in the time, look for areas that have a lot of public hunting opportunities as they bounce from field to field. That's going to be what it takes. And then even when they get there, if they slam the doors, make a bunch of noise, and the birds are just out the back of the field, they're going to go and not think they were there, but in reality, it's adjusting the hunting tactics. So I think we're going to see a lot of folks that still have some really, really good seasons. We're really excited for them to come up here, and that's what we're really, really focusing on with these emails, with everything we've been putting out there. We've got a lot of social media posts going in the next several weeks. We've got our emails going weekly. And again, we want folks to know that this is the place to pheasant hunt, and at the same time, we also want them to make sure that they're respectful in the field. We're emphasizing fire danger, making sure they're not parking on tall vegetation, making sure that they have a plan, know where they are, have additional water, they're taking care of their dogs, we don't want any dogs overheating. And again, we want to make sure that everybody has a great time, has a great season. And with that, I'll take any questions on what we have coming up for the upcoming pheasant season.
Great. Anybody have any questions for Nick on pheasant opener coming up? Everybody's getting off easy today with no questions.
Yes. Nick.
Thank you for the report. Looking forward to hearing how the numbers looked after the opener.
Oh, sounds good. Thank you.
Don't leave.
I'm here.
605 Magazine Series on Habitat and Access. You are kind of hogging the mic here a little bit.
One more for me, and I think that's why you broke me up with Heather. You had to give me a slight chance to catch my breath, and all of you to catch your breath as well. But one more time, Nick Harrington, Communications Manager, South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. I'm going to be talking about a really cool partnership that we've had over the last several months with 605 Magazine out of Sioux Falls. They're more than a magazine, and you will see their print magazine floating around. Emmett's staff is featured in there, and I'll get more to that in a little bit. But they also have been doing video series with us to be showcased on social media. It's in-print articles. It's digital articles on their website. They've been doing Instagram stories every time they're out in the field with us. So again, when we say 605 Magazine, this is not just the print publications that a lot of us are used to. So we opened this up down in the southeast corner of the state. We visited with Ryan Wenninger and our conservation officer, Todd Crownover, down on the Kathy Coleman Chap down in Bonhomme County. We talked a little bit about the access programs we have, how the Chap is beneficial to landowners, it's beneficial to hunters. We also talked about how that's funded, and then what Ryan, he's our terrestrial habitat manager down out of Sioux Falls, and Todd, our Tyndall conservation officer, does to make sure that folks have good habitat to enjoy, have good acres to enjoy, and are taking care of it for the landowner and their fellow sportsmen as well. That was a great article. That was our kickoff. And then we went to the other side of the state. We went to the northeast corner. We visited with Conservation Officer Bill Eastman out of Belle Fourche and the Connors, Dan and Cindy Connor, up just north of Belle Fourche. We are actually about 2.5-3 miles north of the center of the nation. So we got to stop and visit that as well. And we got to talk about a really cool walking area that the Connors have. I mean, not only do they have some prime habitat, but they take access to the next level. They had a groomed trail that goes, I want to say it goes back 3 miles. And hunters seriously get to go pretty much right through their front yard to go access this really prime piece of property. And really just, even from my standpoint, seeing how our conservation officers and our landowners interact, I mean, you could tell that Bill and the Connors, they were more than just in a working relationship. They had a good friendship as well, and that was awesome to see. And that's, again, those partnerships, those relationships is what makes these such a success for us. So that was a great video up there, and then we did one more that it still hasn't come out yet, so I'll kind of prime that. But this was with Conservation Officer Ron Tietzort and Chad Kramer, our bison herd manager out at Custer State Park. We stopped at the Grace Coolidge walk-in fishery, highlighted the opportunities that the anglers and hikers all get to enjoy there right in Custer State Park. And then we also talked more about the bison herd and how we manage our lands for, I mean, it's a wildlife park, but at the same time, we're managing wild populations of the bison, we're managing the lands, and at the same time, we're providing a top-notch visitor experience. So I'm really excited for this one to come out. Again, it's all about what we do to make sure not only are we taking care of the landscape, are we taking care of the ecosystem in Custer State Park, but we're also making sure that when visitors get to come in, they get to see this firsthand experience and just truly have a great time, whether they're there to view the wildlife, whether they're there to fish, whether they're there to camp or go hiking. So very excited for that one to come out. And then one other one that I wasn't directly involved in was Emmett Keiser, his staff down there, David Parker at the Sioux Falls campus. They took the 605 Magazine crew out on a hunting 101, and they were actually able to harvest off apprentice licenses, their guys' first year ever. They had an awesome article. It's in the magazine that just came out. It's available online, and it was a great way to really, really tell our story of what we provide at the campuses through a unique perspective, through the eyes of a new hunter, through the eyes of someone that maybe has never had these experiences that we've all been fortunate to. And that's really what this whole partnership's been about, is reaching those new audiences that maybe didn't know who they were before, and telling our story through different eyes, through a different way to share it. And that's what's been really nice. It's not what we always do. We're reaching new audiences. These partnerships are really taking us to the next level, and it's been a great way to showcase what we all do, what we all enjoy in a variety of ways, whether it's habitat, whether it's access, whether it's our parks, or how we get new folks in the field. And that's pretty much, we're very excited to see where this partnership can lead. We're going to evaluate it based on the numbers of the audiences, look at what we can do moving forward to even make this better. And then one more thing I would like to put out on the idea of marketing, getting new eyes, fresh perspectives. I want to give a shout out to April Larson. She's our new marketing coordinator. She comes to us from Minnesota, and she is an avid hiker. Last year, she hiked all of the Minnesota state parks. She's on day 9, and she hasn't got a break from me yet, but we're still good. She's still with us, and she continues to bring a new perspective, new way to reach audiences, and that's just something that overall We're really excited for where we are moving forward, whether that's through our Can-Am raffle, our pheasant hunting marketing, getting folks out in our parks, and just getting new folks out to experience the field. So to kind of tie all three agenda items together, thank you for your time this afternoon. And again, I'll take any questions you have.
Thanks, Nick. Once again, it's great to see the excitement that you put into this job, and it certainly carries over. So anybody have any questions for Nick on this one?
How did this work out with the new magazine? How'd that all come about and to form that relationship to start these articles?
Absolutely, Commissioner Beast. So we were really looking for new ways to tell our story. Storytelling is one of the best ways to market now, sharing those experiences. And so when 605 approached us on some of the things we could do to partner and how they could branch those audiences and tell our story through their eyes, through their experience, that's really why this came to be. We contracted with them for these videos that I've shared, so we'll have to evaluate if we do that again moving forward, whether it takes on a different form or not. We still have to make those decisions, but that's really where this came to be, and knowing that their audience were the folks that don't know who we are, that don't know what we do, and they've done a great job getting our message to those folks and getting it with that perspective that's going to connect with them as well. So hopefully that answered your question.
Thanks, Nick. Anybody else have any questions for Nick? Oh, we'll look forward to hearing from you later.
Off Thanks. Easy. Thank you, guys.
With that, we're going to go to number 9, the Rapid City Shooting Range update. John Canta is going to give us an update and overview on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, John Canta, Terrestrial Section Chief with Game, Fish, and Parks out of Rapid City. I'm super excited to be able to give you another update on our firearm range complex that we're planning in Rapid City here. And just to refresh your memories, we took a nice tour of the property last time, and then I gave an update to the commission at your last meeting. I'm super excited about this because this is going to be the premier firearm range in South Dakota. We're talking about building the biggest range that we've ever set out to build. And this is really part of a much larger effort across South Dakota, and that is shooting sports or promoting shooting sports and trying to enhance opportunity for folks out there that are wanting to get involved in shooting sports. We are planning potential ranges in Sioux Falls and Aberdeen, and we're certainly looking at any other areas or willing to talk about any other areas that might have a need for a firearm range. That certainly brings us back to Rapid City here, and to further demonstrate that need, we do have some additional economic impact numbers that were calculated for us, and I just got those here recently and thought I'd share those with you. Kind of helps to understand why are we going about doing this and why are we spending the money or proposing to spend the money on this firearm range. And so it starts with the fact that over 55% of South Dakota voters own a firearm. So that's a lot of folks out there that need a place to go shoot. Southwick Associates put some numbers together for us, and I want to share those with you. There's approximately 160,000 shooting sports participants in South Dakota. That equates to about 1.3 million days of shooting. So all those folks going out and spending time with the shooting sports. That supports 846 jobs with wages of $27 million is their estimate. And that also equates to $55 million in retail sales with $4 million of state and local taxes and $6 million going to federal taxes. On a more local level, Elevate Rapid City calculates that this proposed range will support 55 new jobs with a payroll of $1.8 million. Their estimate is that we should see about $2.7 million of additional sporting goods sales as a result of the range out there. And last, they're estimating about $376,000 in additional tax payments as a result of the range. So having said all that, let me give you a quick update with where we're at in the process. We did put out through the state engineer's office a request for statement of interest for an architectural engineer. We did receive one statement of interest, and we do have a building committee is what it's called through the engineer's office. Secretary Roebling sits on that committee along with Commissioner Beast and a few others. And so we met yesterday and talked about that one individual company that submitted a statement of interest, and do feel that they will fit the need and have the experience and what we're looking for to design this range and further develop the design plans. Well, that's a tight skirt under there. Get it back away from me. So needless to say, that company is JLG Architects out of Rapid City. They were also the winning bidder for our master plan document, and the only bidder for that matter, similar to the request for statement of interest here. And so we'll work with them to get them on board and start working as quickly as we can on these more detailed plans for the firearm range. Just touch on the timeline again. We are looking at a very aggressive timeline. As I mentioned at the last meeting, we're looking to break ground as soon as we can in the spring of 2022 here, and then have this completed by the fall of 22. So that's seems like a really aggressive timeline. It is, but a lot of this is dirt work, and a big part of the construction is just going to be moving dirt. So we do feel like that's something we can accomplish, and particularly if we get that get the right contractor on that's got the experience of moving dirt. So alongside of that, we are continuing to work and look for partners, particularly funding partners, but also, as I mentioned at the last meeting, we call them partners for a reason. Some folks are stepping up and offering in-kind services, volunteer services, maybe materials to help with construction and things of that nature. So we're looking for anybody who's interested in partnering and helping with this project. As we discussed, we're looking at around $10 million for the project cost. Right now, Game Fish and Parks is proposing that we commit $2.5 million to that cost. We do intend to go to the legislature and ask for general funds. And then for that remaining amount, we're out again looking for partners to generate money to cover that remaining balance. Just to give you an idea of some of the folks we're talking So a good example is the local chapter, the Dakota Chapter of Safari Club International. They've already written a $20,000 check, and they've committed to potentially another check here in the new year. And they're also kicking around an idea of a gun raffle in which they would give those proceeds over to us for support of the construction of the range. And beyond that, then they're discussing possibility of funding the range into the future for operation and maintenance costs. So really appreciate them stepping up and kind of breaking the ice and writing that first check. Certainly, we're talking to others. We are talking to the national chapter of Safari Club International, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Locally, again, we're talking to Youth Hunting Adventures, and I feel we're real close to getting some funding from that organization. Commando Store in South Dakota here, Shields, Cabela's, even places like the Pizza Ranch. The owner of the Pizza Ranch reached out to me here recently and heard about the range and wanted to talk, and that's the last people I would think would want to get involved with a shooting range, but I'm super glad that he's excited about it and sat down with him and really positive conversation there. So as I mentioned, we've got really good community support for the project. I continue to get folks that are reaching out to me and excited about the project. They're expressing that we have a great need for an organized firearm range like this in Rapid City area, and just super excited about it. Most everyone I talk to are positive and excited to see this happen, but certainly there are a few that have some negative comments or concerns about the range. A lot of it centers around safety and then the potential for contaminants in the environment. Safety, we're addressing that. We're certainly willing to talk to those folks, and we'll continue to talk to them. We're doing everything we possibly can with the way of berming and baffling and other safety features, range rules to ensure that we don't have any issues in the way of safety. And the other thing we always like to mention is we do have other ranges across South Dakota, and we've operated some of those for quite some time, and we've not had any issues with safety. On that potential contaminant subject, we will conduct an environmental assessment, and then we'll also follow all the rules and regs required when constructing a firearm range. And so, you know, if any mitigation is necessary, we'll address that as well. And so I feel real confident that we've addressed those concerns, and we'll continue to look at that as we move into the future. The last thing I wanted to cover We do have some new booklets. They're hot off the press. It took a little bit to get these because, like many of the businesses and companies out there, we're hearing that they're behind the ball with COVID and tough time getting materials and such. But we have these. We'll be sending a copy of these to the commissioners. And if you need any additional information or would like extra copies of this, I will sure take any help that you might be offering to help spread the word on the range and talk to potential partners and things of that nature. So you'll get a copy, but if you want more, just let me know, please. Yeah, and with that, I think I'll wrap it up and take any questions or comments.
Sure. Anybody have any questions for Bob?
Yeah, thank you, John. That's pretty exciting stuff. It's a lot. Just a little clarification on the $2.5 million for the GFP. Was that including the PR match?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Whitmire. So the intention would be, yes, to use PR funds. So what that would end up meaning for us is we would need to come up with the 10% or $250,000, and then we would use $2,250,000 of PR funds.
Yeah, thank you. Otherwise, yeah, so PR actually, you know, shooting ranges is a big part of what they do and what are the qualifying uses for that money. So I'm glad that we're looking at that, and so it's a good project. Thank you.
Anybody else have a question? I talked to some of my former legislative colleagues, and they were saying, what legislative mandate is there for GFP to go out and acquire and construct shooting ranges? Maybe just touch a little bit on the PR funds and where all that comes in and why probably it's in our best interest to continue to feed that machine. Not everyone that spends money on shooting sports is a hunter, and so that we also have an obligation to them as well. But maybe you could just expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And yeah, so PR is Pittman Robertson funding, and so whether folks know it or not, anytime you go out and buy shooting sports items, guns, ammo, things of that nature, there's an excise tax that's built into those purchases, and so that money is collected by the federal government and then given back out to the states based on their hunting license sales. And so that matches for every dollar that we have in license sales, we get $3 of that PR money or Pittman Robertson money. So the interesting part here, and what I think the chairman is alluding to, is that so folks that are into shooting sports, when they buy their guns and ammo and other items like that, they're paying into that pot through those excise taxes. But if they're not a hunter and they're not buying that hunting license, they're not necessarily helping to get that money back to South Dakota. But nonetheless, they're paying into that pot of money and beefing up that PR pot. So it's I think it's appropriate. And again, looking at those stats that I read off to you here and what's coming back into South Dakota as far as economic stimulus, it's appropriate that we give back to those shooting sports folks. And I really see this as a great opportunity. Obviously a fair number of those, if they're into shooting sports, they're into hunting as well. But if they're not, we can get them out to the range, we can get their attention and talk to them about hunting and fishing and getting outdoors. So I think we have a great opportunity here.
Yeah, thanks. Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and thank you, John, for the explanation. One thing to add to that as well is this funding mechanism has changed through the years with the excise tax. In the past, it used to be about 30% of the PR money received from the federal funds were from non-target shooters or non-licensed buyers. So folks that are essentially target shooters and non-licensed buyers. Today, that number has pretty much flip-flopped. So 70% of those PR dollars are generated from target shooters, non-licensed buyers. So the lion's share of those federal excise tax are coming from folks that are simply target shooters or sport shooters. And that model has changed through the years. Therefore, the attention we're putting on shooting ranges, there's a lot of that's a lot to do with it. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands that those numbers have changed significantly to a point now where many states across the nation are really focused on providing shooting sport opportunities, including South Dakota. We're very proud of that.
Thanks, John. Anybody else have any other questions? Appreciate that.